How did you feel when he said you're going to be here for about another hour? Well, I'm happy to tell you it's not going to be as long as that. Actually, I want to keep it fairly short. We were talking earlier about listening to the voice of God, and that we do that through the Scriptures, the study of the Scriptures. And I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a short devotional. This afternoon is a follow-up. I've been doing some reading in Deuteronomy, and these verses 5 through 9 had been something that I'd read earlier this week. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Well, it just so happened that I'm sure some of you work through Jabe's devotionals that he sends out, and he's also been in Deuteronomy, and so I'm going to plagiarize an outline from one of Jabe's messages this past week. So as we look at what Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 is saying, God's word should be in our heart, in our home, in every hour, in our hand, and in our head. So just very, very simple. It comes straight from the passage, but I didn't think of it. Jabe thought of it, so using his little outline here. As we think of the idea of accessing the word of God, accessing the voice of God, in the Scriptures. First and foremost, God's word should be in our heart. You notice verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." And of course, the Lord Jesus used those words and quoted those words as being absolutely key as well when asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he quoted here from Deuteronomy 6. We can only love God because he first loved us, right? If God had simply left humanity to our own devices, none of us would ever be able to find a path to God. There would be no way for us to deal with our sin, overcome our guilt, and somehow to make a way to God. It's just impossible. But he first loved us, right? He first has made the way. He's provided. He has opened the door for salvation, for access, for relationship with himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. And the work of Christ is the only door to the Lord, right? As we were seeing earlier in that little story, the way of the cross leads home, right? It's the way of the cross that can bring us into reconciliation and relationship with the Lord. But the Scripture, Old and New Testament, doesn't speak of love to God as simply being a religious devotion or a religious duty. The whole idea of loving God is set in the context of heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Every aspect of our being, right? Every part of what makes us to be human beings and the way God has designed us and created us, right? In the physical side, in the spiritual side, in the tangible, in the intangible, every part, right? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what the Lord desires of us is that we take his word and we receive it not just kind of as something, as an entity outside of us, but kind of what James speaks about in James chapter 1, receive with meekness the engrafted word, right? So let that word become internalized, personalized, as it were, that we take his word into our beings, into our heart. I think it was Kyle and Alich in their commentary on Deuteronomy 6 said, "The commandments of God were to be an affair of the heart and not merely of the memory." And sometimes I think, you know, even we came to a point when we were raising our children, we try to lay such emphasis in terms of memorizing Scripture. And as long as they could parrot it back, like you fed them their candies and gave them their treats and everything, great, you know, you've memorized the Word of God. But the Scripture speaks of hiding God's word in our hearts, not just our memory. And that's, I think, a greater challenge, isn't it? And we probably can all quote many, many different Bible verses from our head. But But what about from the heart level? In other words, are we actually walking in the reality of that truth? Right? Is it practical application that we are enjoying? Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Isn't that interesting? Okay. He said, if you love me, you'll feel so gooey inside. Oh, wouldn't it be great if you just love me? No. I mean, the feelings, emotions, all there, part of that. But if you love me, there will be this heart-level motivation for obedience, right? It works itself out into every aspect of our lives. The keeping of the Word of God from our heart then spills over into every part of who we are, what we are, like heart, soul, mind, and strength. That God's Word in our hearts grips us, right? It resides there, it dwells there, and it transforms and it infuses every part of our life. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I found in my life, I can put his word in my head and then still go ahead and sin against him. But when his word is in my heart, that's transformative, right? And that's, I think, the key. If the word is just on our lips, it's a theory and can be hypocrisy, right? The Pharisees could quote the Old Testament very, very well. But Jesus called them on the carpet for their hypocrisy. And I think here's the key. If you look at the context of Deuteronomy 6 and what we will see about teaching your children. If I just have God's word in my head and on my lips, but not in my heart, my children will learn how to be hypocrites, right? And that's such a huge danger, I think, within Christian homes and families, where so often children have been through Sunday school, Awana, youth group, everything else, and then just walk away from the Lord, abandon the Lord as soon as they get to college or university. The word was never in their hearts. It was simply in their heads and on their lips. But they perhaps saw in our homes that we were one kind of person at meetings, and we were another kind of person at home or at work or wherever, right? And so that's the challenge. First and foremost, the word should be in our hearts. And it's only if it's in our hearts that we can teach by example. Otherwise, we're, you know, it's just mere words. So first and foremost, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Secondly, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house. The word of God needs to not only be in our hearts, but it needs to be in our home, right? And again, the challenge is to go beyond the mere theory to a true application of that. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. To read the first seven verses. Psalm 78 from verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I love that passage of scripture. And it's so clear. The instruction. We need to give ear, incline our ears. We need to know the word of God. It's something that we have heard and known. Perhaps we have grown up in a Christian home and our fathers have told that, or perhaps we've been saved and then come into an assembly and we've been taught the word of God. See, we will not hide them from our children, right? So we need to pass that on very faithfully in terms of living out the reality of knowing the Lord and walking the Lord, and that our children see in us the praises of the Lord, right? It's not just, okay, this is a Christian home. Yes, 25 rules that we keep. And as long as you're under my roof, you're going to keep these 25 rules. That's not a Christian home, right? That's a legalistic home. That could be a Jewish home. It could be any kind of religious home. But our children are to see in us the praises of the Lord, right? The reality of our walk and our enjoyment of the Lord, that we love the Lord. We're experiencing His love and grace, right? And we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so out of full hearts, we want to impart to our children the blessedness of knowing the Lord, not just keeping rules and regulations, right? So we will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of our Lord, His strength, His wonderful works, right? And I think, again, that's just so clear. We should make it known to our children that the generation to come might know them, to the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare to their children. I mean, you're getting four generations mentioned here within this passage of Scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Okay, within the home, the Word of God, the voice of God needs to be heard in our home. 1 Peter 3:15, I think, applies within the home, not just generally. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." I love that. Sanctify the Lord. "May the Lord be holy in your hearts," right? "And always be ready to give a reason to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you." And we ought to do that with our children, right? Why are we Christians? Why do we believe? Why do we go to church? Well, because I said so. That's just what we do. That's our tradition. No, that's terrible. That is the worst thing you can say to your children, right? To give a reason. "I have hope in the Lord. And this is the reason for my hope. This is why I love the Lord. This is why I trust the Lord." Right? With meekness and fear. So not overbearing, not dismissing. If they have a question, if they have a doubt, if they have a fear, if they have an anxiety, you sit and you talk and you work it through with them, right? And you give a reason for the hope that is in you. One thing was interesting. Sometimes these things are so obvious that you miss them, and I'd never noticed this before, but in Deuteronomy, where it says, "To teach them diligently, you shall teach them," talking about the words of God, "you shall teach them diligently to your children." Apparently, the word "diligently" means to sharpen. Maybe most of you know that already. I'd missed that. And so the Hebrew word, it can mean two things in that particular setting. It can mean that you are to teach the word of God diligently, you to sharpen the word in the way that you practically apply it to your children, right? So you don't just throw the word of God at them. You take it and you explain it to them in specific context of their life, of what they're going through at home, at school, at work, whatever, and in light of what's happening in society. So teach them sharply, right? Sharpen the teaching of the word. But it can also mean teach the children diligently. So teach the children so that they are sharpened by the word. Right? And isn't that lovely? Kind of the two possibilities there. Think of Psalm 27. It speaks about children being a heritage from the Lord, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And so you don't go out with blunt arrows, right? You make sure your arrows are sharp before you go out. In that sense, sharpen the word, but also let the word sharpen the children. And again, it's just very, very practical, I think, in the way that that's laid out. But also a great challenge, isn't it? It's easier just to say, "Oh, I'll read all these Christian books and you'll be fine." Right? But for us to engage with our children, our grandchildren, our nephews, nieces, right, extended family even, to want to see them sharpened to the Word of God and by the Word of God. So God's Word ought to be in our heart. It ought to be in our home. And it needs to be in every hour. It says, "When you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, the Word of God ought to be a total lifestyle and way of life for us. Not just kind of tacked on, you know, on Sundays or when you go to camp or whatever, but that the Word of God is so central in every hour, right? Walking, lying down, rising up, like every aspect of life, everything that you and I do ought to be permeated by the Word and regulated by the Word of God, right? We should really be soaking in the Word of God all the time, and it should come out continually. So not a casual, occasional thing, but a regular, continual, consistent reality. And there's nobody here that would disagree with that, but nobody here who would say, oh, I always do that 100% consistently, right? We do struggle in this area, but hopefully we can grow, and we can make that a very specific goal and aim. So whatever stage of life you're at, maybe as a younger person and you're finishing high school or you're in college or you're just starting a job and in relationships, make it your goal that in every area you are sharp to the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to sharpen you, and in every hour you apply the Word of God, right? So when you're making decisions about friendships, you're making decisions about finances, you're making decisions about school, let the Word of God sharpen you, okay? And use the Word of God, implement the Word of God so that it truly exposes who you are and what you are, and that you live in every hour according to the Scriptures. And that's not just for young people, no matter what age we are, right? Every day we encounter situations that we need to apply the Word of God to. And sometimes, unfortunately, we just kind of skate by that. And we acknowledge it vaguely, but we don't really implement it specifically. So in every hour, the Word of God ought to be in our lives. And two interesting statements there, that you're to bind them as a sign on your hand. And of course, you know, that as always unfortunately happened in Israel, they took every command of God and they turned it into a legalistic outward sign. So it's like, oh, okay, so you've got to bind it on your sign on your hand. So, you know, where's my Bible? Let me strap it with duct tape to my hand, you know, walk around every day with my Bible there. Why are you doing that? Well, the Lord said, you know, got to bind his word on your hand. You know? He didn't mean it in that kind of way. He meant it in a figurative way. That you know, when you think of your hand symbolizing all that we touch, all that we work at, all that we do, like so much, right, passes through our hand. And in that sense, he says, the Word of God needs to be in your hand all the time. You need to be handling the Word of God. You need to be implementing that in absolutely every way, right? And, you know, very basic. To be able to do that, you do need to have a Bible in your hand regularly. And you think of that. If you're never opening the Bible, whether it's electronically or a physical copy, if you're never opening it in your hand, you won't know what it says, right? You won't be reminded of what it says. Sometimes we know passages of Scripture and they just kind of leak away, right? It's just not thinking of it. And then you read a passage like, oh, that is so appropriate for where I'm at right now. So I needed to be reminded of that. But if I wasn't reading and rereading the Word, that particular Word of God would not have been in my heart to regulate something in my life. So you can't say, oh, I've read the Bible once or twice, that's all I need. No. We need to read it again and again and again, right? So it's so simple, but it is tough, and we do struggle with that. Bind it as a sign on your hand. Like, how often is the Bible in your hand? How often? Not enough. That would be the basic answer, right? Not enough. Not enough. And we can certainly grow and improve in that. The last one here is that the Scriptures ought to be in our head. It talks about they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Again, the Jews turned that into a physical thing that they carried, you know, strapped around their head. But, you know, you think of the Pharisees being there in all their phylacteries and outward adornment, and yet they couldn't see the Word of God because they were so bound in tradition, legalism, self, everything else. So it was there on their hand, it was there between their eyes, but they couldn't see it. And sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, right? And sometimes we can think, oh, I know the Bible. Oh, yeah, hear somebody preach. I know that. That's old hat, you know. And yet we can't see what God is actually saying to us because we kind of, you know, we treat it very, very superficially. The idea is that the Scripture ought to be right there in our thinking. Always interested in the way that the New Testament in Romans chapter 12 presents the transformation that the Lord is looking for in our lives. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And how do you get your mind transformed, renewed? By the Word of God, right? So let that Word be between your eyes all the time. Let it be cognizant, that you should be cognizant of. Let it be front and center. Think about the Word of God. all the time, right? So every situation, look to the Word of God all day, every circumstance, right? Just come back to it. Go to the Word of God. Like I was talking to somebody earlier here, and they were saying, it's just amazing how often they find in their life that they go to everything else, and they go to the Lord as the last resort. They try everything else. They try every bit of advice. They go for counsel to other people. They read other books. They do other things. And it seems like they knew way back here the Lord was trying to reach them. But they went this long, circuitous route to first try everything else and listen to everybody else's voice. And then when it absolutely crashed, then they said, maybe we should go to the Lord. And they said, that last resort. And they said, that's the struggle that they're finding in their life, and that they really, you know, are wanting God to change in their life, so that the Lord is their first resort, not their last resort. Right? And I think that that is so important. Let his word be in our heart, our home, in every hour, in our hand, and in our head. Listening to the Lord, accessing his word, following his voice, walking with the Lord. So here's a simple outline, but hopefully we can even remember this. The challenge for the week ahead. Let God's word be in my heart, in my home, in every, you can say hour if it's easier to remember that it's at a H. In every hour, in my hand, and in my head. Yeah, it's just, it's so simple, but I think so important. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you that God has spoken to man, that in your grace you have reached out in love and compassion and grace to us fallen, sinful human beings, that you desire to have relationship with us, you desire that we worship you in spirit and truth. And we pray indeed, Lord, and ask that we might grow in this grace and knowledge of your word, that truly it would be in our hearts and homes and in every hour and in our hand and in our head. Father, we pray that we might be transformed by your word, that it would be front and center in all that we think and say and do and choose and decide, and the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves and our family and relationships and work and school and just every part, Lord, we pray that your word would permeate, that we would be attuned to listen to the voice of God, that we would focus on what you're saying and not focus on the storm, not focus on the circumstances, not focus on other people's voices, but we would focus on your voice, that we would hear you and that we would follow your voice. So, Father, we ask for help in that. And thank you for this time together. Thank you for these lovely people here at SBF. Thank you for their friendship and fellowship. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for all that you're doing and accomplishing here. And I ask your blessing upon this assembly and each one in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.